We are so excited today. I'm very proud of all of our husbands and fathers and brothers. And let's now give them another big hand for it. We're going to be coming from the book of Matthew, And I want to bring to your attention a father that many people don't know much about. The Bible does not go into great detail concerning this man, but there is something unique about this man. He did some things that all men should take note of when they take a look at this gentleman. In fact, to be quite honest with you, this verse in Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18, is the chapter of the Bible that made me believe the Bible was real. Funniest verse in the world, but it was this verse that made me, convinced me that the Bible was real. You know, many times when we look at the word, we go through things, and how many have had sometimes a rough upbringing in your household, you know, and you've gone through something with particularly a father or somebody in your life, and you have these ideas of what reality is. And I used to read these stories about, you know, these great heroes of old and how the dads were like, you know, confident, and the men were like, do this, do that, make it happen. You know, and you would like, man, that's how a man is in the book. When you read a story, they're like always on top. They always are confident. That's how books, myths, and stuff are written. That's the truth. So I'm thinking the Bible's a fairy tale. So I go to read it, and I'm thinking, man, it's just another book full of myths, like the Odysseus. The stuff about, you know, these old gods, and maybe it's not real. Maybe it's just not. And then I read this passage. If you understand, I was raised in a home that was broken, where my father didn't live there. And I knew what it was like to watch my mom and dad struggle. And even though they were cordial, I saw the hard times that they went through. And I'm thinking, I'll never see that in here. Because, you know, why read a book if it's not going to turn out great? And then I read this passage. Let me read it to you. Matthew, verse 18, chapter 1. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. Mary was engaged to be married with Joseph. Yeah, that's right, right? All right. So she was an engaged woman to Joseph. Now, here's the kicker here, guys. When you hear this passage, you've got to understand what this passage actually means. To be espoused in the King James Version means that you are married, but not married like we are today. When we think about being married or we're engaged to somebody, it means you're not married yet. You've got a waiting period. But in the Jewish culture, it was completely different. When you got engaged, you were technically, legally married. So literally, if you got engaged, you couldn't get unengaged unless you got divorced. So literally, Joseph was espoused to Mary. Now, here's where it gets kind of funny. But before the marriage, before the big event took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Ghost. Y'all saying amen. No, sir. Ain't no way. You'd be like, what? You're what? You're pregnant. Well, hold on now. See, because you have to understand something about marriage. When you are a spouse, the men would leave for about a year. They would leave the woman where she was while they went to prepare a home, a land, and take care of her. Now, this is why I want to say, this is very important to all of the men. I want to say thank you, because many men in here are the kind of men that go to work every day. They want to make sure they can provide for their homes. Sometimes it seems hard in the household because you're not there. But I want to tell you, thank you, because you're like a Joseph who was willing to leave the one you love just to make enough to make sure she's comfortable, to make sure she had what she needed. That's what Joseph did. He was gone for a year preparing a place for her. That's why when we read in the Bible, we read this text that Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I wouldn't have told you." He said this, "I go to prepare a place for you."
Yes. Come on.
You are the bride of Christ.
Amen.
And whenever a man leaves to go prepare a place for you, that means the man's coming back.
Yeah.
So I want you to understand, you are the bride of Christ, and he's preparing a place for you because you're engaged of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The Bible says in Ephesians that literally when he left, he gave you a token. He left a down payment. It's the Greek word for an engagement ring for you. And he's called the Holy Ghost. And you get to keep the Holy Ghost until he comes back for you and y'all go up to heaven married forever. Hello, somebody. That's how you know you engaged. How many men are engaged to a man? Oh, y'all don't even want to say that. You are engaged to Jesus Christ. Be proud and loud about it. Not the other way, this way. Jesus has espoused you as the church, his bride, and when he comes back, you're going to go back to the heavenly mansions with him when he comes to get you. So I say to all those men who are working so hard at keeping their word, thank you. Men who said, "I'm coming back for you," and they're going to come back because they're men of the word. You know, the beautiful thing about a husband is that a husband, when he thinks about it, he says, "You know what? I got to do this because I care about my bride. I got to get myself together so that I could take care of the woman that I love." And there are so many men in here that said, "You know what? I can't stay the way I am. I've got to change for the woman that I love." Now listen to me. That doesn't mean change for the worse. That means I've got to get better in order to be better for that woman. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And listen, I know it's hard sometimes. And Joseph was no different than you and I. I remember when we were in college, I was dating Chanita. And we dated for 7 years. 7 years we dated. Because we decided we wanted to do it the right way. And I wanted her to finish college, and I wanted her to succeed. So I didn't push the relationship. I pushed her relationship with God. I, as a good husband-to-be, I don't want you to focus on me. I want you to focus on him. How many know you should be doing that? Now, here's why I say that. I told my wife this. If the day I stop seeking heaven, I'll be hell on earth to you. When a man stops seeking God, woo! So here's 7 years we were dating. 7 years we did that. And then here's the funny thing. Towards the end of that 7 year, a word was spoken to my wife in my church. And she got this wonderful word. And it wasn't for me. You know how sometimes you want to get the word somebody else got? And I didn't get it. She got this wonderful word. She said, our pastor called her up and said, God says, daughter, that you're going to have two sons. Both of them, you're going to have two sons first, and then you're going to have a daughter, which actually happened, by the way. But God said they're going to be extremely successful. But God says that your husband is going to be a man who has no jealousy. And I remember sitting in the back of the church. Because I'm looking like, hold on, I fight. Hey. Whoa. Hey. You're looking too long there, bro. Looking too long. Move on. You know, I was so jealous. Somebody say jealous. Yes. How many men could say they've been jealous like that before? Liars! Y'all know. Y'all be like, why are you 30 seconds late? Why are you 30 seconds late? Where you coming from? I just woke up. No. And I was a jealous man. I mean, I was a jealous man. I'd be like, you know, hey, okay, good night, I'll see you later. And then I hide around the corner. Let's see if anybody else come around this corner. This one, mine. I was so jealous. But the one thing I was scared of was God. You know what I mean? When you got a man who's scared of God, you got a good man. Because I was like, man, I can't mess this girl. God gonna kill me. I got to be nice to her because, you know, I don't want God coming after me because all our women are like God's daughters. Amen, somebody. Yeah. Don't play with our women, I'm telling you. The women in our church, they're so anointed. They're so full of, they like solid gold to God. Don't play. You show up one Sunday, next Sunday, we don't know where you are. You done touched the Lord's beloved. Don't do that. So the preacher stands up and he goes, God said this man will be a man of no jealousy because God's going to use you and blah, 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 blah. I didn't hear nothing after that. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm sitting there going, oh, no, you didn't, God. How are you going to have me be the man who keeps her for her prince? I'm like the holder of the door. How you going? And you did it right in front of me. You could have waited till it wasn't that church and then give it a word. But he did it right in front of me. And I'm sitting there like, ooh, that is so cold, God. You had to do me like that. You know I'm jealous. You had to do me like that. But you know what? If you're a good man and you want to be a good husband, you're going to change yourself. Because you're not going to ask God to change her. Come on, somebody. My men, my brothers, my homies, are you in the building? Can I hear a what? You're awfully quiet over there, brother. Awfully quiet. You're looking smooth, but you're awfully quiet there, brother. There we go. Just checking. And I'm standing there going, man, you know, God, that ain't right. That just ain't right. I thought she was mine. And you telling me about her man and how many kids she gonna have. That's wrong. Quote unquote kids. And I was like, you know what, God? Fine. You're going to play me like that? That's good. Fine. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll be your gatekeeper. But I remember praying this prayer. But God, I'll keep her till her prince comes. But don't leave me like I am. Jealous. Worried. Scared. I'm going to lose what I got. Always looking over my shoulder. Distrusting. God, if you're going to take her and give her to a better man, don't leave me like I am. And see, the men in this house have to get to the point where we say, God, make me better. Because we can't always change the people we're around. And when God speaks, and ain't nothing we can do about it. So we got to adjust our hearts to say, I got a good woman. Let me change my heart. And here's the funny thing. I said, over the next course of time, I began to change and said, I'm not going to be jealous no more. I'm going to stop that foolishness. I'll hold her till her prince comes. But when he get her, then I'll have to find me another one. But at least I won't be jealous. And didn't know that the word was for me because I became the man that he prophesied over. And we had our first son, then our second son, then our daughter as he prophesied when I changed. You know, sometimes in relationships, things don't always look right. But sometimes you got to trust God that he's going to make it right. I want you to understand what Joseph was. Joseph had been off to work, getting his house ready for this woman, Mary. He was excited. He was bright. This woman was the bomb. And when he gets back home, she says, excuse me. I got something to tell you. I'm pregnant. Now he's going to be like, hold on, let me go back. No, something ain't right. Watch what he does. What's what the scripture say? Let's go back down to verse 9. It says, this is Matthew chapter 1, verse 9. Really? I'm sorry, 19. Matthew 1, verse
19.
Hello? There we go. All right, watch this. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man. And did not want to disgrace her publicly. Can we talk about what a good man is? A good man, a good husband, will cover the sins of his wife. A good man will not disgrace his wife in public. You know, I always talk about how you can tell how close some people are in their relationships. You want to know? You want to know how to go to the mall and be able to tell? All right. The distance between the man and the woman when they walk in the mall tells you their relationship. When they're walking, if she's 5 steps behind them, they got problems. That's the truth. If you see her walking 10 steps in front of him, they got problems. But when they can hold hands, when they can hug, love on one another, and kiss, husbands, never stop kissing. I think I just got women in the house, right? Listen, bros, brother mans. What? Come on, somebody. You got to give love. You can't give hate. You can't get angry all the time. You got to be able to put something in that bank. Kisses cost a lot in the bank. Never get out of word. Never get out of practice of kissing your wife. I can say this, right? Am I in church? Is this wrong? I just want you to know, Joseph was a good man, and he could have got mad at his wife, and he didn't, because he was a good man. The difference between a good man and one who is not is the one that gets angry at his wife and takes it out on her. But a good man says, no, I got you, baby. I know you did wrong. But love covers multitude of sins. I want to thank the good men in this house. Because without the good men in this house, we can't have good women. Hello, somebody. I want to thank the Josephs of this house on Father's Day, because without you, we can't have good children. We can't have a good church. It is really about who you are that makes the difference. I want to show you something about the importance of what Joseph did here. The Bible says that because he didn't want to disgrace her publicly, so here's what he did. He decided to put, watch this, he decided to, yes, break the engagement, what? Quietly. That's a good man. He didn't want to embarrass her, didn't want to shame her, didn't want to, you know, I've seen people drive away in a car and leave a person standing on the side of the road. No. A good man says, yeah, you're wrong. But come on, we'll take care of this the right way. But watch this. There's something better. Next verse. After he decided to break the engagement quietly, next verse. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Verse 21. Son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Ghost. This is where I knew the Bible was real. Because, you know, I should have read Joseph married his wife, was happy with it when she said, I got a baby by the Holy Ghost. He said, wonderful. And they got married happily ever after, the end. Joseph was like, you got me twisted. You got a baby from who? And when I realized a real man acknowledges the truth about how he feels and is real with his heart and knows to say, listen, man, this hurts. I'm not going to keep it in. I'm not going to hold it in. I just need to process this. And he says, you know what? No, something ain't right, but I'm going to do you right. I'm going to treat you right. But he was hurt. I learned right at that moment the Bible had to be real. Because I know there's no way I could have faked that. And I said, man, you mean to tell me this Bible is telling the truth? This man had to be hurt. It took God to heal his heart. Thank God we got men in here that can still hear God. Amen. We got good men. Listen, this is why I said on Father's Day, it is so important to honor our men, because a man needs to be able to hear God. Wives, let me say this. We have to, and sons and daughters, we have to give our fathers the space to know God. We've got to make sure that we are encouraging him to say, hey, listen, it ain't just about making a living. It's about, do you know God? How can I help you? Is there anything I can do? Can I be there to encourage your relationship with him? And that doesn't mean when he doesn't go to church, you don't go to church. No, you keep coming to church until he comes and sees such a change in you that he goes, where are you going? He does a Steve Yates. Where are you going? Where are you going? And then all of a sudden, he comes because you show up. That's what it means to be a good man. Ladies and gentlemen, on Father's Day, there's so many good men in this house. And all we have to do is make sure that we're able to hear the voice of God for our families. I want to encourage all of our good men to think about this. The best way we can be the best men we can be is to live for God the best way that we can. Amen. Amen. That means really engaging your wife with the Word of God, not with what you know, but with the Word of God. The Bible says that love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. In other words, he gave up self to love his wife, that he may wash her with the water of the word. Meaning, I don't just say what comes out of my mind, I say what the word says. And a good husband has a good grasp on the word of God. Time out for all the women knowing the Bible more than men. Hello, somebody. We need strong men who know the word of God and can quote it and quote it to their children and their children's children. I believe that's the kind of men we have today. I want to do something very special for our men. If you're a father, would you please stand up, please? We want to pray for you in this house. You're a father, we want to pray for you. All the women, would you stretch your hands towards our husbands in this house? They're our future, our generation. They're the ones that's going to lead others in this journey. And let's pray for all of them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you would look at the men in this house, the husbands. They're desiring to be the best men like Joseph, who heard the voice of God. And when God said, take your wife and go to Egypt to protect her, he moved when God said move. These are the high priests of our house. And God, this church could not survive without strong men, strong fathers, strong husbands, men who put themselves aside for God and let God be first. Lord, bless the men of our church that God is always first in their lives so that every decision they make may honor you because they have the power to bring forth a seed that is for God and for humanity. Holy men produce holy seed. And God, I want you to bless them. If they're not where they want to be today, change their hearts. If they're willing to change, do it, God. Put in them a heart to serve the Almighty. Because if you put God first, he'll take care of the rest. God, I bless these men that they may become all that you called them to be. And we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' amazing name, amen. Let's, wives, women, let's give our men a big hand clap. Oh, you can do better than that. Come on. Amen.